You know, whenever a new movie comes out, it seems inevitable that eventually a moral quandary will arise, either from violence or questionable moral principles that come out from any number of movies. And if you wait long enough, eventually there will be a wave of individuals who will come out and say, well, it's just a movie. And of course, I'm always fascinated by this because in so many ways we really should ask ourselves that question, is it? Because let me tell you, the earliest movies that I remember when I was growing up, the things that I saw and then wanted to see again is, well, Indiana Jones, Return of the Jedi, and Mickey and the Beanstalk. I was fairly certain, even from an early age, that I had to become one of three things, well, or all of them. I was going to become a Jedi, I was going to fight Nazis, and I was going to take on every giant that lived at the top of my produce. So I was ready to take on all of these challenges. You know, as soon as the end credits began to roll, I wanted to act out these things. I wanted to live out these things, you know? And let me tell you, mothers do not get excited when they find out that all of the dental floss is gone because you're trying to master your force powers. You know, that's not a pleasant conversation you get to have. You know, you try these things, and of course, you know, with all of these, we require a certain level of martial prowess in combat, and so I grabbed whatever stick I could find and was ready to take on my brother. I mean, he was only 8 years older than I was. How bad could it be? He was 16 when I was 8. I could win eventually, I thought. So I was willing to go at it again and again. It didn't matter how many bruises, scars, marks, or other things I may have gotten. You know, it was irrelevant to the point of we were going to take this on. And this, I was going to do this. It was inspiring. I saw these things and I wanted to be inspired to something greater. By the way, in case you're wondering for point of reference, telling them that they should stop watching movies and go read a book isn't always the solution either, because I didn't necessarily have to go watch the movies, I found books. I read the history of the Peloponnesian War. There's a good measurement, by the way, if you tell your child to go read a book instead and they still find ways to do this, they may be reading, because I read the history of the Peloponnesian War and I was ready to develop the modern phalanx. I took every broomstick, handle, shovel I could find and mounted them all on my mattress so that I could find a way around the modern day phalanx. And I imagine my mother probably would have been less upset if more of her handles had survived the experience. But you know, it was an engagement. You know, I was inspired. I want to do this. I wanted to engage in these things. And of course, my mother insisted I should probably think smaller scale so that, you know, it's less damaging. You could keep it more under control. I continued to read. I read about the Battle of Lepanto, where 960 ships were committed to a single fight. I looked around my room to try and come up with something that I had 960 of. And believe it or not, there's not many things in a room that you can come up with 960 pieces unless you have a giant bin of Legos. So I recreated the Battle of Lepanto on my floor. And of course, then it was time for bed, so I was only about halfway through, so I went to bed and turned off the lights, and you know, my brother had to come in the room. I shared a room. And to this day, I'm still not allowed to repeat the things my brother said out loud as he walked across the room that night. But it did prompt us to remember that, you know, Legos were not supposed to carpet the floor. But, you know, my point is that all of these things inspired me to be something, to want to strive to grow for something greater. It isn't just a movie on the screen, because the moment it's over, there's this inspiration to push on for something more, to push on for something greater. Whether you hold the argument that a movie is just a movie or not, there is a danger that we experience more and more in the modern culture where we look at the words of Scripture, where we look at our attendance at church, where we look at this life of Christ and we treat it more and more like that movie. Where we hear it, we read it, we take it in, and then we just sort of go, well, isn't that nice? Now I'm going to go back to my day. There's this temptation to see the things that were done, to engage in the Scripture as it happens, and then to just sort of put it on a shelf and walk away. You know, we'll see a rerun next year when we come back around. But the challenge is that the Feast of the Ascension, and it is not even a feast, a solemnity, but the solemnity of the Ascension is this great celebration, this great challenge to us, that it's not a static movie. It's not something we just sort of, you know, we show up and we sit for 45 minutes to an hour and complain if it goes over an hour and then race to the parking lot and try and get out as fast as we can. It's not something we just sort of think about and go, oh, it was really nice that Jesus did that thing long ago and we'll just go about our lives now. But quite the opposite. This is an invitation for all of us to take action. This is a challenge for each of us to take the Ascension as a great commissioning point. What does he say? He says, go forth. Go to the whole world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Those who will believe and are baptized, they're going to be saved. But they're not going to be saved unless somebody does this. Unless we go out and we preach and we really evangelize. We send forth this gospel. And how does it happen? It happens because Christ asked us to. Never underestimate that Theophilus, remember Acts, the Apostles Theophilus, does not necessarily mean it's referring to a specific person. This would be a very long letter if Acts of the Apostles was one letter written to one guy a long time ago and everyone just happened to repeat it a lot. Quite the opposite. Theophilus is a lover of God. Don't see it as just one guy, but genuinely consider for a moment that Luke is writing to every lover of God. In my first book, you lovers of God, I dealt with the things that Jesus did and taught. And now here's some acts of some apostles, so you can get an idea of what you can do in your generation of apostleship. The ascension of the Lord isn't really the moment where Jesus said, well, good luck, I did what I could, and heads out. This isn't a contractor who just finishes a project and heads out. No, this is someone who is instructed and taught and guided and now places the responsibility on us. Now commissions each and every one of us to be that next evangelist, to be that next one who is going to take these words of Scripture, who's going to take this good news, who's going to take this gospel joy and bring it out to everyone we encounter. That doesn't mean we literally have to take each and every person we meet and sit them down and say, have I told you about Jesus recently? It doesn't have to begin that way. It can. But in so many ways it begins with bringing that gospel joy to every person we meet. You're bringing good news to the people that we encounter. Let me tell you, people need good news. We love to hear it. We do. There's plenty of bad news. Why not bring some good news as well? Why not bring in this gospel message, this great reminder? And I know, there's a temptation to say, well, you know, it's great, but if I don't feel moved by the Spirit, how can I do it? I mean, you know, even the apostles, they had to wait for the Holy Spirit. He ascended into heaven, and then they had to wait for the Holy Spirit. And that's true. They had to wait for the Holy Spirit. They had to wait for Pentecost. I have news for you. If you have been confirmed, you have received your Pentecost. You have the Spirit. We are supposed to go out and take this and actually share and bring it to others. We don't have to wait for next week. We don't. And I know it seems overwhelming at times. It seems genuinely frightening. But I'm telling you right now, as a nation, I think we've spent enough time being afraid of our faith. I think we've spent enough time apologizing that our faith exists. And I think it's time that we get back to actually being excited that we have faith to begin with. That we have this wonderful great gift that we can share with others. And it doesn't all fall on the priest. We can't say, well, you know, if the priest and the bishop would just do this more, then we'd have more people. It's not about just the priest. I am one man, genuinely. This is a commission for each and every one of us. This is an invitation for every last one of us to begin by having a joyful faith ourselves and bringing it to others. You know, my 5 years of priesthood, my three assignments, all the parishes that I got to visit as a seminarian and before, one of the things I was genuinely fascinated by was when I got to sit and have an opportunity to talk to people, and they would tell me about all the things that used to happen at a parish. And I'm fascinated by this. I am. Because they tell me, well, you know, we used to do this, and we used to do this, and we used to do this, and I always ask, why aren't we still doing it? Well, Father, I admit priests kill projects. But it doesn't all fall on the priest. Well, you know, it was really great under that father. That's awesome. Let's make it great now. It's a combined effort. It is that group resolution. We want to make sure that we carry forward anything that has begun in goodness. And some things rise and some things move on. It happens. But the important part is that we continue to be that motivating force. We continue to be that evangelizing force that does these great things, both for our parish family and for those that we haven't even met yet. And I feel the need to say this I don't necessarily know why, but every time I talk about priests and other priests and moving, everyone panics and says, well, he's on his way out. You're stuck with me. Bad news, you're stuck with me. I'm not going anywhere. The challenge still falls to each and every one of us as we celebrate an ascension, as we celebrate the ascension of our Lord. It falls to each and every last one of us to be that evangelizer, to be that one who's willing to share the joy that we have first, and to know that it is that joy-filled life with God that is going to be that carrying force that does so many great things for us. That's going to influence, or better influence, everything else that we do. Jesus ascended back to the Father. The end credits are rolling. Are we just going to stare at it and say, that was a really fun movie? Are we going to go out and play the next chapter ourselves?